Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Now Bolt. And it's Tony Adams put through by Steve Bolt. Would you believe it? That sums it all up.
Hello, I'm Adam Davis. You're listening to the Tuesday Club. This is the Arsenal podcast, and I've got Keith Dover with me this afternoon. How are you, Keith?
I'm fine, Alan. How are you? Are you good?
I'm cold.
I'm cold. I'm not cold. I'm good. Going stir crazy, like most people. I've spent so much time rebuilding my Sky Electric set. It now rivals Silverstone. I've actually even started talking to the figures, you know, the spectators and the pit crew. It is something to behold. But
there is a little bit of the Max Verstappen about you, actually.
You're not the first person to say that, funny enough.
I think I am. And Ty Papula is here. Ty Papula.
Hello, mate. How are you, mate?
Hello, Ty Papula has been supporting Arsenal since 1949.
That's right, Alan. And in 1949, as you'll know, the Nigerian tourists came over. A Nigerian select 11 came over to tour England. And it was actually, they said it was average Nigerians, but really it was the sons of diplomats and so on, just to show the right sort of chap, to show that they were doing the right thing by the empire, right? So being of low birth, I wasn't allowed to play in the squad, but I was allowed to be the person who taped up their feet because it was the Nigerian barefoot tourists.
That's right, they played barefoot. I've read about that.
The Nigerian barefoot tourists, they played at Dulwich Hamlet. They played, who they lost 1-0. They played an Orient side. I think I saw Keith in the crowd when I was...
You did, actually. I gave him a good round of applause.
But more importantly, they played at Marine Crosby. They played at Marine Crosby. And while I was up there, I sprinkled some speculative juju around the ground just in case it would ever come in useful. And so here we are, hoping today that time has come to rule. Those chickens have come home to roost. Those Nigerian super eagles, I should say, have come home to roost. And I'm hoping that the work gets done today.
Oh, well, let's hope so. We're recording this, listener, at 5 p.m. On the Sunday, the whatever it is, 10th, is it? And we've broken all New Year's resolutions and we're already recording a podcast as Tottenham are playing. And I've even got it on the TV. It's 0-0.
And long may it stay that way. My God, if a freak event actually happens, that's strong juju. Team.
Well, I mean, Juju works. So as you remember, I think you were in the ground, Keith. Juju does work for the very famous Kanu goal. My favourite, probably one of my favourite goals not scored by Ian Wright or Thierry. The goal where Kanu just looks at the Deportivo keeper.
And he just
falls over. And then
didn't
they
even touch the ball.
No, and they just go to Wenger. The camera cuts to Wenger on the bench just laughing while Kanu runs off. So Juju is strong. Juju works.
He just stamped his foot. So something happened then.
Excuse me.
Something happened. What would you call Central Africa, Nigeria? Something happened.
Nigeria is very much West Africa.
West Africa. Yeah. Is it in that? Is that?
Well, it's Africa. Let's you know. It's
Africa's not a country, Keith. Africa.
No, it's a continent. I know it's a.
Well done, Keith.
I know it's a continent. I know a continent when I see one.
Just before we go on, there was a letter a couple of weeks ago which detailed an encounter with me and Keith and a couple of guys up a pub off Liverpool Road. I remember this incident, and I was not
glad you did.
Oh, yes. No, this is we had an email last week in Tyler's absence. We read out an email where someone said, asked for a picture with Keith and Tyler, and Keith was very amiable. And Tyler was, quote, almost moody. Almost moody. But you're saying you weren't moody. You're saying you weren't moody.
To which you and Damien fell about.
It was funny.
In such a way.
We've seen you almost moody. I've seen you almost moody.
Almost
every,
moody.
Every time I pot the black, you're almost moody.
Fair enough.
What is almost moody?
What happened to you? What happened to this bloke?
You're confusing that with my resting bitch face, Keith. But no, listen, what it was, I was just backing in. I was taking the seat in the background.
Right.
I see, you know, more of that kind of enabler role in midfield to let Keith shine. Because
set the scene for me, was it on one of those picnic tables outside the Duchess of Kent?
It was, you know exactly where, that pub outside Liverpool Road, there we are. So a crowd come up and, you know, being Keith, a little bit of sunshine on him.
Did he have his I am Keith badge on?
No, I think he just said I am Keith domestically to anyone who hadn't recognised that he might be Keith.
Yeah, so, I see you looking at me there. You're right. It is me.
Excuse me, Keith Dover coming through. Yeah, sorry, Keith.
It is me, in case you were wondering.
Yeah, all
right. Listen, you hire an aeroplane with a big banner saying I'm here, you know.
El Presidente wants a lager.
I just thought I was doing the right thing, which was just staying in the background a little bit while Keith had his natural shine on. And then I get told I was being moody.
Almost moody.
Yeah. Are you buying that?
I think what it means is another couple of minutes and you would have got moody.
This is like a ticking time bomb.
This is
what happens when you hang out with Keith. He takes all your shine away.
But
I enjoyed that. Very good podcast. Thank you.
So listen.
This is good because it's like back to the old days. We remember when we done the podcast before COVID and we could talk about our lives for a little bit because we had something going on. I'd say Linda had got me doing this. T would say about some hats he'd bought, you know.
Yeah, he's still got a hat on. He still wears hats.
Yeah.
Just because he's locked down indoors doesn't mean he can't put a hat on in the morning. He doesn't let his standards drop.
Well, Keith's got his hat on. He hasn't quite sorted out the lighting in his...
Does your screen not give off any light at all?
Not really, no. I've got a backlight.
Yeah, well, that's where you're going wrong.
Yeah, I've just got a flat cap on today. But I mean, we used to have a life, didn't we?
We did. I really want to go to a game again. So, like, the last game, which was coincided with maybe, I got reminded of it this week because it was probably Ozil's last involvement. Like, he laid one on for
Lacazette,
didn't he? The header across
March the 7th. A 1-0 win against West Ham with Ozil headed the ball across for Lacazette, and then there was a lengthy VAR delay, and then they gave the goal and we won the game.
At that time, I just thought I had a little bit of a sore throat. Little did we know.
Oh, you were a super spreader at that match.
Anyone in the Upper West that day who felt ill?
Is that where you were? Apologies, well, you know, yeah. Mikel Arteta came down with it 2 days later. So think on, my friend.
I've been having dreams of going into pubs and sitting by a log fire, but the whole idea of going up to a bar and going 2 pints of lager, please. Oh. Please.
It's just weird watching telly and seeing people hugging. You know, when you watch games and you see players wheeling away and you see look up in the and you see the Arsenal fans just jumping on each other and hugging. I mean, not only it makes me sad because it's of an era gone by where we used to score goals freely, but it's also just reminding me of just being at the game with I almost missed you, Keith, is what I say.
Well, I almost missed you, mate. Almost.
Oh, I did hear, weirdly enough for home games in an empty stadium, they're still playing House of Pain at half time. Have you heard that? You noticed? They're playing Jump Around at half time when they're coming out again.
Yeah, well, we noticed they played the old Elvis at the end.
Mm. Yeah.
The Wonder of You was playing at the end of yesterday. We're recording this, so it's the day after Arsenal have beaten Newcastle United after extra time. I can't remember winning a cup game after extra time. I can't remember much these days. But anyway, it was monumentally dull for about the first 100 minutes. It was really dull. Andy Carroll should have knocked us out, really, shouldn't he? Missed two chances. Yeah. One where he thought he was off, but he wasn't. And one where Bert Leno made a terrific save, one-handed block with a very strong hand because he hit that hard, didn't he, Carroll? And then he got the rebound as well, kept us in the cup there, Leno. That was right at the end of the game. That was us out if that had gone in.
And he would have, I saw it this morning because someone, I think it was the Arseblog, mentioned it in his report about it, saying that the mighty swipe that Carroll took when Leno took it away from him would have taken his head, neck, shoulders
That would have kicked the goalkeeper's head onto Highbury Fields. That would have landed on Highbury Fields by the clock tower.
It was a hell of a swipe. I watched the replay of it afterwards.
If the head had gone into the goal, would that have counted? I mean,
they'd have had to go to VAR.
Yeah,
yeah.
Two balls on the pitch.
The ball and the header in the net.
Wow. Yeah, which crossed the line first, technically?
You are the ref. Andy Carroll
decapitates a keeper.
Do you blow up? Go over to the monitor to look yourself. Speaking of which, I mean, it was VAR which did the right thing.
I really thought Steve Bruce at the end of the game was going to say, well, they beat us, but that player shouldn't have been on the pitch. I thought, go on, say it, Steve. Go on, Brucey, say it. But he didn't. He took it. But it wasn't.
Do you mean about the Smith Rowe red card?
Yeah.
It was never a red card in a million years. It's one of them ones where in real time, because the way he was falling, it looked like he'd gone in two-footed, but he hadn't.
But the scream.
And the guy screamed and fell down. Like, what is that about?
Yeah.
He barely touched him.
No, but you can hear it all across M5. Someone's been killed again. It's like, honestly, it's like foxes shagging in the back lane.
Yeah, it was.
What's that, what Longstaff means? Does that mean a fox shag? And it sounds what it sounded like. And then you look at it again, and I mean, he barely touched him with with the foot. He tried to get the ball, missed it, tapped him on the shin pad, free kick. It wasn't even a yellow, if you ask me.
Nah, yeah, he sort of had to give something to save a little bit of face, didn't he? But we were away as well. I mean, it was a poor touch from Smith Rowe, but like we were away for a counter attack. Thanks very much. if that works, but yeah, it was a good job he was on the pitch in the end.
Yeah,
lovely goal.
It was
lovely
brilliant.
Goal.
Smith Rowe again, wasn't he? He's sensationally good, really. I mean, suddenly it's like a signing. Mm. It feels like he's so good, and it's a couple of years since he made his debut, and we've seen little bits of him. He did quite well at Huddersfield. Sometimes alone does you good, doesn't it? But he's so good. I think we're looking forward to seeing him and Saka playing with Thomas Partey and Martinelli. And Lacazette enjoys playing with them. And suddenly you feel like we've got goals in us and creativity where there was none. Mm. Because the first half, again, my God. Nick, I'm trying hard with Pepe. I really am. But I can't get away from... If we paid £7 million for him, I'd be a bit thinking that was a bit steep.
Well, I think he's a £20 million player. I'll give one bit of credit to Pepe, though. The guy kept trying. And he was at least putting a shift in. Whereas Willian... I'm sorry, mate. Just looked like a bloke who's come out of the betting office and lost a few bob.
He looks depressed, William, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He really does.
Can I just tell you, a guy called Dom Macca, @DomMacca on Twitter, sent me a message yesterday saying, remember the Zidane DVD of just him playing? Imagine that for Willian tonight. It'll be like an episode of Brass Eye. Which I absolutely
pretty
love.
Funny.
Ran away with it. So you can just imagine it. Instead of like Mogwai, I put like, it could be like a never-ending Lawrence Fox song or something like that, where you've just got like Willian miscontrolling it and swearing under his breath in Portuguese. Just for like 60 minutes. It would be an amazing performance DVD.
But the thing is, he's you can still see that he's got touch and balance, and he can do all the stuff. It just doesn't look like he's playing for us.
Yeah.
Who's he playing for? He's just on the pitch running about. Okay, Pepe, when you give him the ball, whether he'll lose it or not, it's 50-50 whether he'll lose it or not. And if he does lose it, he just seems to think that's part of football. Mm. Whereas Reece Nelson has the opposite problem. Reece Nelson is so, must never lose possession. And consequently, he's a bit too cautious. What you want him to do is show a bit of confidence and attack people and try and be a bit more like Saka and Smith Rowe, basically. Mm. Look for a 1-2. Do a step over, beat someone, but he's got a terrible habit of playing safe and going backwards.
Willian looks like there's no one in the stadium, and it'd be worse if it was, but it looks like every time he gets the ball, he's expecting that kind of collective intake of breath around the world, just going, oh, what's he going to do now? Because this is, so far from the player that we saw at Chelsea, but to have your confidence eroded like that with no crowd around, and they keep on doing these close-ups of him looking really, really tortured. It's unbelievable to see that this player
is. Is it going to be like Lacazette, where suddenly there'll be a decent performance, there'll be a goal, and the light will come on?
Well, it has to be.
He'll start playing, being the player that we know he is.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, doesn't it? I mean, for two reasons. We don't have the resources just to throw him out. And I think that's probably got something to do with what Arteta said yesterday, is that we're still going with Willian. He didn't have all the opportunities. He's been ill or whatever. You've got to hope that he comes good, not least because we're paying him 220 grand a week for the next 2.5 years, by the way. So we need to get a piece out of him.
We are, but at the moment, I'm one of the Arsenal fans. It's absolutely killing me that Ainsley Maitland-Niles isn't getting a shirt in midfield when Pepe and Willian getting selected so often and their form's poor. And you think a few games on the bench, a few good, decent performances as a sub. Well, give Ainsley a shift in midfield and more of an attacking role, especially if Smith Rowe and Saka are playing, where I feel like with Smith Rowe, he would definitely be linking up and combining with him. But they are. It felt like, again, a step back. When they came on, the two boys, who were 19 and 20, it transformed the team. Absolutely transformed. Every touch that Smith Rowe takes
energy.
Is so good. Energy and drive. Really, it's a little bit Fabregas in that. Every little ball, every little 5-yard, 6-yard ball, every little first touch, the touch is so on the money. 98% of the time his touch is perfect.
And on the move, I mean, like that brilliant goal which you guys talked about, which I can't help keep watching. I just love the way that Smith Rowe takes that on the move. The pass is gone and he's three
completely.
Steps off beforehand.
Exactly. It's so like Fabregas to receive the ball already with a plan what you're going to do. As they say a lot, they're saying it right here, Shearer, but on the half turn, ready to do something, thinking forwards. He's two-footed, he's quick, he works hard, he's everything. When you see a kid really developing who you had high hopes for, so it's amazing, really. I tell you what did make me think. Years ago, Ian was over at Highbury with his dad. Remember, Ken came to a few games. And it's an experience watching Arsenal with Ken. It really is a long, lifelong Arsenal fan, passionate Arsenal fan. But he would, on a rainy night, his glasses would steam up and he'd have water on the front of the lenses. So he's effectively legally blind. But he'd still have very strong opinions about everything that was happening. He'd be loudly giving his opinion when the ball's out of play. But one of his opinions, which he knew was contentious, was that George Graham was a lucky manager.
Oh, yes.
And he was a lucky manager. We said it's not lucky that he signed Dixon and Winterburn and Bold and Seaman and Limpar and Marwood and Alan Smith and Ian Wright. That wasn't lucky. That was an outstanding transfer policy, right? And he goes, he was lucky because when he turned up, he had Adams there and he had Rowcastle and Merson and Thomas and Davis. It's the best crop of young players that we've ever had, that we can remember having. Well, there was a good crop, wasn't there, in the 71 double team. There was a lot of homegrown players. Yeah. And he was lucky to have that. And that came to mind. It really came to mind in the last couple of weeks. Mikel Arteta has been given a get out of jail free card by Haya Lind, because that they have just when he's putting players on the pitch who cannot string two passes together, whose confidence has gone through the floor, he's unable to manage them up to some sort of level, and he turns to the kids coming through and he sees Saka and Smith Rowe there. Coming along, perhaps they've got their own fiesta. I don't know how they get to training. maybe Ainsley picks them up. Yeah. But I imagine these kids come in with that. I love that, because we're of a generation where people didn't speak the way that Smith Rowe does, but that familiar twang, that familiar New London accent, yes, that's so familiar, that goes across racial boundaries. So they all kind of, in this melting pot, they all sound exactly like Smith Rowe. And it just lifts your heart to see them, as it always does, to see kids from your own youth team, yeah, come into the side, who know one another, who get on, who will be there for each other. And it's been fantastic in the last 2 weeks.
Who've all sat 13 rows in front of us at some stage.
Yes, that's right. Where we sit, listener, in the West Stand, there's a few rows down the front, kind of actually close to the away dugout. There are seats there for the Arsenal youth team. And because we've been sitting there now since 2006, we've seen a lot of talented boys go down these steps and sit there and come back up. Including Emile Smith Rowe, of course.
And do you know, actually, that they're told by the club that when we scored, they're not allowed to jump up and celebrate or sing along with the fans, which is, you think, that's a bit ridiculous, isn't it? You know, but it is great to see these youngsters.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it is great to see these youngsters come through. And that's why you would think that Willian and other players, more senior players, will say, well, these guys are putting a shift in. Why shouldn't we? And
well, given how the internet doesn't forget, Keith, can you imagine if somebody went back and just saw Saka shouting, "Why did you lie, Brian?"
That's
just
true.
There with his mouth actually just twisted in.
But the thing is, it's not just about putting a shift in. It's that Saka and Smith Rowe and Martinelli are better players than Pepe. Better player even than Aubameyang. Mm. There's no doubt that Aubameyang is a sensational finisher, second to none. But in terms of general play, doing damage from the wing or working with people, Saka and Smith Rowe are tearing the pitch up at the moment. And you notice that because they're doing so much good work, there's much more space for Kieran Tierney, for example, who is fantastic.
Oh, mate, he was mad at the match yesterday, wasn't he?
My God, the season he's putting in now. Yeah. Motoring past people and firing crosses in, we think that's going to hurt when I head that, but that will go in off my face. I can't miss.
Yedlin can move, you know. He left him for dust because Yedlin had just come on, but he left him for dust, and it was a really lovely motion. I mean, Aubameyang's work to get on the end of his own ball actually is lovely, isn't it? Because he comes in, goes out again in the circle like that. Newcastle are just letting him tip. It's like one of them old. You know, those sort of 40s crime shows where the guy's behind, sort of creeping up like that, going, he's behind you. It's like there's no one goes anywhere near him. But the space that Tierney creates down the left, and then to find Aubameyang in there absolutely on his own, it's a really lovely finish as well. It's a really lovely finish because the ball's come fizzing in.
Well, I remember way before we signed Tierney, I was stuck in traffic and there was a journalist, Scottish journalist, saying, this is a player that Arsenal should be signing. He is an Arsenal player through and through. And now you're thinking, Christ, why did we take A so long to sign him? And we really mugged Celtic off over the fee, I think, now.
Well, I was going to ask this. Do any of you guys know, because the Celtic fans he's got a bit of beef. Well, Celtic fans are really upset with him for moving on. Do you know anything about that?
Oh.
If anyone can write in and tell us.
I haven't heard that, no. I've heard the opposite, actually. All they want is for him to do well, and he gave everything for the hoops for nearly 200 games. We're just so blessed, really. The left back has been our position over the years, going all the way, you know, Nigel Winterburn, but Sammy Nelson before, but Nigel Winterburn, Kenny Sansom before that, Ashley Cole.
Say his name. I think you did.
You know, even when we've had a little, you know, Silvino, there was the Carlos, the Carlos time. But we've found another one now. So he's in the same. If you can be mentioned in the same breath as Kenny Sansom and Ashley Cole, you are an outstanding left back.
I kind of forget how quick Tierney is. You know, his positioning is great. But like, the last few games when we put this run together, he's been motoring past. And just before we do totally move on, like, fair play to Lacazette. the way he came on yesterday made made a big difference. Because it's his flick on for Smith Rowe, isn't it? Which I didn't see till this morning.
Yeah, he gets in. He gets a header in there and nods it out. Smith Rowe's moved out to that position and just drilled that finish. Just a good contact with the laces in off the far post. Perfect. Technique's outstanding.
What do you think about the... I mean, you mentioned Reece Nelson quickly, but Willock? Joe Willock, about Joe Willock?
I thought Willock had a reasonable first half, and then there was a moment in the second half where he had a chance to do an easy ball. He lost possession and Newcastle had a chance from it, and Elneny had a go at Willock, and then Willock sort of brushed Elneny off and said something. And I'm thinking, hang on, Willock, you should be listening to Elneny. You did.
Well, you say that.
Well, no, I think Elneny had a reasonable game, and I think, you know, he should have listened to the man. He was basically saying you had a simple pass to lay off and you didn't do it.
Willock's playing a lot of games and he's trying. I just always get the impression that he's trying a little bit too hard. You can see why they like him.
Yeah,
because the potential athleticism when he grows into himself. But yeah, he's playing a lot of games. I kind of wish by now that he's making, it's not fair to compare him to the others, but like I just want him to be making better choices. He's played a lot of football now and you'd kind of hope that his decision making would improve as well. He had a really good chance for that header as well, didn't he?
Yeah, that would have been nice for him if that had gone in. He hit one lovely ball crossed with his out to the left wing behind a fullback. It was a sweet pass. I think at the moment, he's young, right? So they're trying to train him up, so they're putting him all around the field. He's played number 10. Yesterday was one of the two in midfield. It felt like he was sitting a little deeper. He plays on the right sometimes. They're playing him all over the pitch. He's a bit in and out. But as you say, he's a terrific athlete, good touch, and he could be a fantastic asset for us. He's part of that gang, isn't he? They're all in it together. He looks so young. When you see him, he looks 14 years old. Yeah. He really does. Definitely. They need to keep him going, keep moving him around, keep his education going, and it will click for that guy, I think. I like him.
I was a bit surprised
to see there was a little transfer rumour. There's this guy, Buendia, at
Norwich.
At Norwich, supposedly Arteta fancies, and... Well, they're going to part X one of the kids. Nelson and Willock were both mentioned, and I was a bit surprised to see that, and I hope they don't go. And in any case...
Well, yesterday proved we know who the A-team are now, don't we? We know who are the first choice names on the team sheet.
Is that amazing thing to say, though, about a 19 and a 20-year-old?
Yeah.
Really? I mean, Smith-Rowe hasn't even played for England under-21s yet. They've got the... Euro's coming up in the summer. Surely he'll be there with Nketiah for that, if it goes on. And we're looking at them when we've got super experienced players in their 30s and a £70 million winger, and we're saying, no, we're pushing you aside for these kids. Has there been any word about Martinelli?
I was going to ask you the same thing. They said it was an ankle.
Arteta said it didn't look good.
Oh.
So
it says there's a lot of pain he seemed to be in.
Yeah.
I really hope it was a tweaked ankle and not something to do with the knee that he's just come back from. By the time you listen to this, listener, on Tuesday, you'll know. But it was all right in the end, wasn't it? We got away with it a little bit, but it's amazing to be talking about four wins on the bounce, where a month ago we were drawing up a shortlist in the David Moyes game. So, but maybe if he is a lucky manager, if he has got that stroke of luck, you can't get the senior pros going, but a load of kids have just turned up in a Fiesta and saved your ass. So be it. That might be the thing that saves it for him and gets him going.
The other thing that might save him is the fact that he played Renarsson in a game which we were probably going to lose anyway, and we didn't have to find out at a time when it mattered.
That's a good point, because he might have picked Renarsson against Newcastle, and who knows whether he would have saved that Andy Carroll shot.
Mm. I think who does know, actually. There's no way.
Well, let's not get on the keepers' back. One bad game, you know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
No,
a decent
all right,
backup.
Mr. Voice of
no,
Reason.
No, but, you know. Sounded like Damien, the Mr. Hope, but
no, it's lovely. Iceland's wonderful. I've DJed there.
I have actually. I've DJed in there.
I'm sure you have.
It'd be nice to have a senior backup keeper, though. Someone, you know, who's been around a bit and we could trust for the odd cup game. You know, that's what we need. An Ospina. Is he around? Or?
Ospina. What were you going to say, T?
No, I was going to tell a story about two Nigerian strippers that I met there who, chat to. Yeah, I met two Nigerian strippers in Reykjavik, just in a bar chatting. One of them had been there on holiday and had got quite a lot of attention. So phones...
Female,
yeah. And so we've got two of them. They'd been there for a couple of years. Were making an incredible living, as the fact that Iceland hadn't seen, her words, not mine, a badonkadonk like that before. So okay. They were quite.
I'm not asking any follow-up questions.
So they were quite busy. Yeah, it just occurred to me. I'd gone quiet. I was going to leave it, but you just brought me back to it.
Hey, it's a nice aside. If we're going to have an aside, go off at a tangent, that's not too shabby.
Yeah, cheers, Keith. Yeah.
But as you're saying, a few weeks ago, Arteta was on the shortlist. Now it's Fat Frank whose job's on the line, isn't it?
Well, I like to think we put him on that path.
Yes.
Yeah, we trounce them, don't we? They've won a game today against Morecambe. Timo Werner's come up with a goal. Sheffield United won a game. Sometimes the FA Cup can give people a lift, can't it? Not Steve Bruce, though. We've knocked Steve Bruce out of the FA Cup so many times for so many different clubs down the years. He must hate Arsenal.
We were reminiscing in the week about the Newcastle 98 final, which I imagine you two were at.
Of course.
It's one of the greatest days of our lives.
Yes, that was...
Keith can't remember it because he was coked off his nut.
Allegedly. I do remember the limo. We had a limo. That was good.
Yeah, you remember the journey there? Don't know how you got home, Ethel. Go on. What were you going to say about
it, T? I just thinking about... we're talking about it this week. Amy Lawrence was talking about it this week, and which I hadn't thought of at the time because it became so ubiquitous after that. But, of course, it was a big deal doing the double then, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Before it just became, you know, the team with the most money, like it just started happening more regularly then. But it was a big deal for us to do that. And I remember being so gutted.
It remains a big deal.
Yeah.
But it happens. Of course it is. But it also has happened loads since, having, you know what I mean?
It's fair to say that since then, United did a treble, Chelsea won the double, Man City did a domestic treble. It's fair to say that the big money really does talk in the Premier League these days. The big clubs pick up a lot more trophies than perhaps they used to. There was a time when a smaller club, or even a club that wouldn't challenge for the title, but a good-sized club, say like Aston Villa, for example, or Sheffield Wednesday or someone like that, if they got their act together, they could win the League Cup.
Yeah,
Man City aren't allowing that anymore. Although I'm all for Man City winning it this year, I must say.
I'm absolutely here for Pep taking it seriously for another year.
Why don't Manchester City just have a bye to the final and then let everybody else? Because it'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? Just say Manchester.
Be like the old the old FA Cup, which used to be the winners play. You know, were challenged the following year.
Yeah,
it's absolutely outrageous the teams that Pep puts out for the League Cup.
It really is. He does. He turns up and he just shows the finger at your kid. Oh, you're putting some kids out, are you? Here's my middle finger. You're going down hard. I'll crush your confidence. Oh, you got a young goalkeeper you've just signed, have you? I'm going to kill that kid.
His Jesus, Mahrez and Fernandinho, right? So, yeah.
Oh, you wait to see. I mean, maybe you probably have by now, listener, but there's a goal that City got today in their game where Mahrez hits the ball with the outside of his foot. That sort of stops on the byline for De Bruyne to pull back. De Bruyne's not even looking. And it hits Bernardo Silva and is in the net in a flash. So good. So good. But those players, between the three of them, were 160 mil just to get them three.
I still remain hopeful that one day we will have a North African baller to call our own at the club. If I'd known that Sami Nasri was going to be the last of our chances of having that, then I would have enjoyed him a bit more.
You're not on it with El Neni? You don't like the El Neni vibe? It's not enough for you?
No, he doesn't.
It's the best hairdo we've ever had at the Arsenal.
He doesn't stay out of games enough and then come back in with a flash of genius.
Oh, I thought we had a steady game yesterday.
That's the problem, Keith. I don't want a steady game. I want flashes of brilliance in the 78th minute.
I'll tell you what, what would have changed your mind was if that shot he hit against Chelsea that hit the bar, if that had hit the underside of the bar and gone in.
Underside.
That would have been in my top 10 Arsenal goals.
And Granit hit a good one yesterday, didn't he? Oh, Granit.
Oh, didn't he?
Yes.
He did all right when he came on yesterday as well.
And he set up the second goal as well. It was a good pass. So, you know, it was all...
Yeah. He's doing all right again. Fingers crossed it'll last for more than six games.
What did you think, mate, of Cedric Suarez? What did you think of his performance? I thought he was steady, but some people thought it was a mediocre game. I thought he was okay.
Couldn't pick him out in the lineup still.
Do you know what he looks like? He looks like someone from a 1930s black and white film. He looks a bit like Rudolf Valentino.
He does.
I'm going to have to take a second look at him now.
Should look at him. If you just look at him in black and white, when he comes on, pause it, turn the colour down. I imagine you've still got a TV keeper, you've got a colour knob on the front.
Oh, really? Thank you.
Yeah, you've got one of those Ferguson checks in a wooden box. Has it got doors on?
If Cedric Suarez walked past and someone said to you, that guy was in the Prisoner of Zenda.
Yeah, it's the Prisoner of Zenda. That bloke, what, Zorro? Yes.
Oh, I'm going to have to so look him up now.
He looks like Zorro.
Zorro.
That's what I like about him.
Whether he's any good at football or not, I can't tell you, but he looks like a 30s matinee star.
Right back, Zorro. And at left back, Kieran Tierney, he came down from Scotland to be number three. He's better than Ashley O'Kieran Tierney.
That needs an airing.
Mari had a good game. He was good. I thought he was a steady.
I like him.
He's handsome, mother.
He was cool.
That guy. Yeah. He runs the Copacabana. He is the manager. He is the owner. He is in a cream suit at the bar.
Maybe a Panama hat. Would you have the Panama hat?
They go to him and they say, Zorro's at the door again. And he says, I'll tell him. That's not Zorro, that's Cedric. He can come in. Mr. Mari says you can come in.
There was something about if Mari walked in to the interview room afterwards, you know, like Pacho in Narcos, Mexico. Just in that shirt, just like clapping like that, and just like if he just brought his partner on stage and just said, "Use," I would not be surprised. There he is. He's a beautiful man.
He's a beautiful man, and I reckon he's got a wardrobe full of silk shirts.
Absolutely,
wardrobe full. Him. With loads of little gold necklaces.
Walking
and
wardrobe.
Just stuffed down the back of his trousers, a handgun, a solid silver handgun.
Solid silver
handgun with his squad number on the handle.
He has to check his gun in. I don't know who takes the guns now that little Vic Akers has gone. Someone takes the handguns at the door.
So you're saying you go round his house and he'll just show you an array of gold-plated guns.
Say hello to my little friend.
Yeah, in the left drawer is medals, in the right drawer his handguns. That's exactly it.
You go into, you say to him, where's the loo, Mr. Mari? And he says, down there on the left. And you go in, you pull the shower curtain back, and there's a bloke handcuffed to the rail with tape over his mouth. And you think to yourself, is that Shkodran Mustafi? But you don't say anything, for God's sake. You just pull the curtain back. I wonder what happened to Shkodran Mustafi. He looked like he was making a comeback last season, but he hasn't been seen. Oh, Pablo Mari's got his handcuffed to his shower curtain.
First you get the place in the team, then you get the money.
First you get the place in the team, then you keep the place in the team. Socrates has got a panic room. Oh, dear.
Oh, has anyone seen... you can tell that we're doing well because we haven't actually had a chance to talk about good TV, but anyone who's seen Spiral...
Yes.
You watch Spiral, don't you, Keith?
Oh, massive fan of
it. It's incredible, isn't it? But the only problem we see... No spoilers. With season 8 is that it doesn't have Arsène in it.
I know. There was Judge Robin. He was the spit of Arsène Wenger. It is Arsène Wenger, isn't it?
The most decent man, like... Yeah, it's just... Hi, Dad. you know, it was that. But I've just finished season 8 of Spiral, and
no, don't tell me, because I'm still watching.
No, I'm not going to say.
Don't tell him. No spoilers.
No, for all those who for the recommends, some people, weirdly enough, actually listen to some of the things that we recommend. But that Spiral Engrenage is on iPlayer.
Okay, I might give that a go. Oh, mate, it's brilliant. Justified.
It's Justified, superb. Oh,
well, Justified. Wynn Duffy is my hero. Wynn Duffy on a sunbed. You are. That really is. That's a very niche market for that joke. But yeah, brilliant. I've had a few emails have come, have flooded in. Many of them are about Teddy Sheringham.
Hooray!
They're still coming thick and fast.
We should do a whole podcast just dedicated to the Teddy Sheringham story.
We should. We should do a compilation. Yeah. Or we do an evening of Teddy Sheringham, when we get actors to come and read stories about Teddy Sheringham. Yeah. This one is from Danny Meehan. I've just been picked up from my primary school in Wanstead. Must have been around 2005, 2007. we was waiting to turn off the high street onto Herman Hill. You can tell by the way he puts "we was waiting" that he definitely did go to primary school in Watson. We was waiting to turn off the high street onto Herman Hill when my mum turned to me and my friend, with me in a car, fellow gooner and freeloading scum, who I shared a season ticket with before he moved to America. Hello, Josh. And my mum goes, "That man looks familiar." It was Teddy Sheringham in a dark green Bentley, of course. Of course. He was gesturing to let my mum turn with a "there you go, love" smug look on his face. So it's yet another Sheringham story where he's actually being quite a decent bloke. He's letting someone come out in front of his Bentley.
More than reasonable.
Me and my friend recognised him and undone the window. I love the grammar in this email. And undone the window while both yelling at the top of our voice, "Up the gutters!" Teddy responded by grinning and putting his middle finger up at us. Oh, Teddy, you never fail. he says this was around the time that he played for West Ham, so we, which would have made us both aged between 7 and 9. Teddy gave the finger. Say, for argument's sake, they were 8. Yeah. He gave the finger to an eight-year-old. Through the window of his Bentley.
All of this proves no man has enjoyed being a footballer. No man enjoyed being a footballer more than Edward Sheringham, did they?
Listen, he's hard and fair. That's all I can say about the man. He gets about a bit, doesn't he?
An absolute joy. He really does. Here's another one. Subject line, Teddy, from Glenn Prime. As a previous resident of Hyams Park and Chinkford, a popular cycling route out to the Essex countryside would go via a small village whose most famous resident had built his own footballer-style mansion to stick out like a sore thumb. I think the choice of the name sums the man up. The name of this house was The New Camp. And Glenn says, "Why? What a twat." I love the sign-offs to some of these. So all the information is welcome. Carlos has emailed saying, "I have some cool information that might interest you. Ooh. Your podcast, The Tuesday Club, has good performance in Apple Podcast rankings. Position 1 in the category Sports, Macau."
Yes. Oh, that's a market.
Big in Macau.
And also, we're in the top 10 in Zambia, Singapore, Georgia, and the United Arab Emirates.
Oh, fantastic.
And Vietnam. So, okay. Yeah. Thanks for that information, Carlos. I don't know what to do with it, but it's well, very gratifying.
Just say hello to all those people in those wonderful countries.
Yes, quite right.
Can you just learn how to say hello in all those languages before next podcast, Keith?
Yeah. I'll give it a damn good try.
Oh, a lot of people have been on to me because we were laughing last week about the winning away at the Hawthorns in the snow. And Danny Ceballos gave a good performance, and we said he's probably never seen snow before. And that very week, they've had the first snowfall in Madrid for 10 years. And, I'd like to thank the 987 people who've been in touch with me to point this out. I've had photographs of Sergio Ramos doing ball juggling in topless. Magnificent figure. The Bernabeu under snow in central Madrid. I enjoy all pictures of Madrid. It's wonderful.
I've got an interesting story about Madrid. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so this came up on a Facebook page about old football stories. You probably know it. So in 1984, in the UEFA Cup, basically Madrid are playing this Croatian team called Rijeka, and they're 3-0 down. Anyway, by pure chance, they managed to rally. No small fact that the referee had sent off two of their players, given them a very dodgy penalty, then sent off a third player for dissent. The only thing was with the third player, this is where the probably guy gave himself away, was the player he sent off was deaf and dumb. So that sort of throws out the whole, you know, dissent thing, you know. And of course, Madrid went on to win the game and then actually win the competition. The referee was banned for life. What a surprise.
Wow.
Friends in high places.
Banned for life.
Yeah, yeah. He was banned.
Oh, bad news, Keith. Daniel Oakes has emailed. Yeah. Hey, you bunch of hairy-backed Marys.
Oh, Daniel. Hello, a bit harsh.
All right, Daniel. I'm an Arsenal fan from Norwich. Oh, that might explain.
Normal for Norfolk.
Now living in New York. Mm-hmm. Lucky you. Yeah. I was listening to an old podcast from 2011-12, back when they were funny and not trying to sell me equipment to shave my scrotum. All right, Daniel. Quite hard. I heard Keith make a £1,000 bet with Alan that Frimpong will score a winning goal in a cup final for Arsenal.
God, I must have been bloody drunk on that night.
So the subject line for this email is Keith owes Alan £1,000.
Well, I'll have to verify that story. And
Daniel says he requires a 10% finder's fee. Daniel, you're not getting a penny. You are freeloading scum. Connor Galvin has been in touch. This is a song that he's come up with for Emile Smith Rowe, keeping in mind that Ian Wright revealed that he went to school with Emile Smith Rowe's dad. And it goes like this. Emile is a gooner. We should have played him sooner. Right, he knows his family. And we love goals from Emile Smith Rowe. And Emile Smith Rowe loves me.
I like this guy. Yeah.
I like it.
He picks the right songs.
Emile is a gooner. We should have played him sooner. Right, he knows his family. And we love goals from Emile Smith Rowe. And Emile Smith Rowe loves me. I love it.
Another South London gooner.
I love it. Connor, that is from Connor in Galway, Ireland. If you haven't been Galway, and I'm sure you have, T. Been everywhere.
Do you think when...
Fantastic place, beautiful place.
Yeah.
Do you think when we're allowed back in, Emma Smith-Rowe and Tierney will still be at the club, or will we be singing it at their testimonial?
Are we going to get back in this season, Keith?
After watching the game, I looked at the clock. It was 8 o'clock, and I'm thinking, oh man, we'd be down a pub now. And I'm thinking,
in a pub. We'd have been a bit hacked off, though. Can you imagine being there?
Oh,
that was seriously cold. Yeah, I mean, that was, you'd have got exposure. That was hypothermic cold. And then when it went to extra time, can you imagine? Oh, you're joking! Yeah. Come on, Arsenal.
Why didn't you score 25 minutes ago, Smith-Rowe?
Yes. That would have beaten the Everton game, wouldn't it? Which are still
that
the
was
coldest.
Seriously cold yesterday.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But it would have
cold.
Been so great going down the pub and having a... Oh, Jesus.
It
would. I'm
dreaming. Stop tormenting yourself. Stop tormenting
yourself.
I have
dreams of going in pubs, Alan. That's, you know,
you're not doing dry January?
Oh, no, I am. I'm doing dry January. I'm just missing the whole experience of that social thing, you know. But
we all are.
But at least this replaced the dreams of me being on the roof at the Emirates shooting Stan Kroenke. So that one's, you know. Trust me, a few weeks ago, you guys were with me as well. You were on other parts of the roof shooting. So, yeah,
have you called a truce with the management, Keith?
I have called it.
With the higher echelons.
Yes, I have. Actually, I'm going to cut those guys some slack because they have signed a few checks. Sadly, I think they've been mugged off by some of the checks. But I'm not blaming them for that. So, you know.
When's Thomas Partey coming back?
Oh, mate.
Well, he was close for yesterday, wasn't he? He's back in 100% training, they said.
We've got Thursday night, we play Crystal Palace.
That's a good...
And then is it Newcastle again on the Monday? Mm-hmm. Oh, just got to keep this winning run going. It's wide open, this league. Liverpool lost another match. Man City seem to be coming on strong.
Mm-hmm. It's back on.
Yeah.
It's back on all round. Everyone thinks it's on, don't they, this season?
Well, it's all over the shop. I mean, anyone could, if they put it, carry on. I mean, even Southampton have got a stab of winning the Premiership and Leicester.
We can't lose any more games. No. I mean, you can't, if you seriously, you know, we've lost 8. So we've basically got to go unbeaten for the rest of the season. Someone did point out that we were further behind in 98 when we won the double. It does remind me a little bit of the 91-92 season.
Yeah.
Remember that season? We went about 18 games unbeaten, scored 100 goals.
Well, they said if we hadn't have lost those stupid, a few silly home matches, wasn't there the one we lost against Coventry and Dixon scored an own goal? Was that the same season?
Was that season?
But we lost, we did just drop silly points. Points, and it was such a shame.
Was that the Mickey Quinn?
No, that was not that game. No, you wouldn't want to give that own goal up there, would you? I mean, that own goal, that was worth conceding. It was such a good one.
What was the Mickey Quinn season?
Mickey Quinn was much earlier, I think, in the early 90s.
Oh, I thought that's what you said. 91-92, wasn't it? Or something like that?
Yes, maybe I'm getting confusing myself.
Who scored our own goal? Is it Rob Holding who scored our own goal this season? We haven't let in an own goal for ages, have we? Before.
Well, let's not tempt fate down that line.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Mickey Quinn's hat trick was on the 14th of August, 1993.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it was a 3-0 win.
Yeah, I spent the first half outside the ground trying to get a ticket. That was... And then hearing the cheers and thinking I might as well just leave it for the day. I remember that.
Lee Dixon's own goal was 1991.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was the 91-92 season, Keith, in September. That was one of the games we ballsed up.
Yeah.
Which contributed to us conceding the title to Leeds United, who won the title that season. Now, lads, do you want to play a bit of spot the commentary?
Absolutely. Yes, please.
Yeah. As we're going back in time, not sure how you're going to fare with these, T, but it'll be a history lesson for you. What I've done, I like a theme, as you know.
Yeah.
I've gone for FA Cup third round ties. Mm-hmm. Right. So these are the three Arsenal goals scored in FA Cup third round ties. If you know the, I'm hoping that in this instance the opponents are not mentioned in the commentary. So you've got to get the opponent, and if you can, the year. Here we go. We'll start with this one.
Inside by Ricky Thomas. Roque Arsenal took it away from Owen.
Oh, that's is it Wrexham?
Oh, he's run outside Sartori. Now, surely, yes. Alan Smith saves Arsenal's blushes with 1 minute to go to half time.
Oh, yeah.
No, Keith, you're absolutely right. It is Wrexham. Wrexham away.
Oh, he went early. Yeah, well done,
Keith. We went a goal up. Alan Smith scored. And in the commentary...
It's Tony Gubber, isn't it?
I think that is Tony Gubber. Yeah, he's saying he spares Arsenal's blushes because we've missed chances. We'd had one off the line. We've missed chances. We should have been well ahead. And we just scored one goal. And it seemed like we were the reigning champions. Wrexham were in the fourth division. We'd gone up there. We took 4,000. I went to it. We took 4,000 fans up there to Wrexham and contrived to lose the game in the second half. What was it that made you think of it? Was it the name Thomas?
It was the name Mickey Thomas. But also, actually, if you remember, Jimmy Carter got an equaliser, which was ruled out. And when you see the replays, it was actually a perfectly good goal.
I do not remember that.
Yes, we did.
But I love the way you've stored that.
Oh, no, I do. Ali, I can a lot of stuff I can't remember, but something niggles me when we get knocked out of the cup because someone had a disallowed goal and it shouldn't have been this.
Well, there you are. That was Wrexham against Arsenal. That's 1992 where we lost. Alan Smith scored our goal. Let's see how you get on with this one.
Oh, Dalziel. Well read though by Tony Adams. What a promising young player he is. Robson, another one of course. Woodcock shot. What a marvellous goal by Tony Woodcock, right out of the blue too. A swift build-up. And Tony Woodcock has given Arsenal the lead with an explosive shot. 22 minutes gone.
I have no idea, but I'm going to say 1986.
Well, you're very close. It's 1985. It's the FA Cup third round away from home.
York.
Not York. I love the way he said quick build-up. If you watch it, and these are worth looking up on the old YouTube, listener, it's basically two hoofs forward. One by Adams and one by Robson, who both get called promising young players for kicking it in the direction of the opposition goal. But then Woodcock runs on to a little layoff. I'm not sure who laid it off, whether it was Marin or I don't know, but he smashed it in. What a hit. It's another one that I went to. It's my nostalgia, really, these. But
well, there's a lot of boring Arsenal.
I'll give you a clue. It was a long coach journey. Yeah, at the beginning, and there's a back pass. There's a back pass to Lukic, and all of the away fans are going, boring Arsenal. And, of course, we score 2 minutes later, or 2 seconds later.
Right.
No idea?
Well,
Dundrin. 85.
Hull? Would it be Hull?
Hereford.
Hereford. Oh. My God, I never thought we even played there.
Hereford. I went on the travel club coach. That is a hell of a drive. Oh, the motorway runs out about a third of the way there.
That's the problem. It's all windy roads after that, isn't it?
It really is. And it was really cold. FA Cup third round day is often freezing cold. And we drew 1-1, and then I couldn't go to the replay. And do you remember the score in the replay, Keith?
3-0?
7-2.
I was going to say 7-1, even.
7-2. Scored 7, which, you know, in the Wenger years happened, you know, quite often, but in those days it did not happen.
At both ends in the Wenger era.
Yeah.
I remember doing a gig in Hereford, drove there and back. My God, the mileage I have clocked up.
Was that in the Puma?
No.
Predates the Puma.
Predates that. Would be the Sierra.
The Sierra, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Blue Sierra. Racing stripes down the side.
Yeah, is that stereo standard? Of course not.
No.
Are you joking?
Mate, I don't know how I'll recognise my car coming out of that Ford Motor Company. Took, you know the old, was it Johnny Cash? I took one piece of a dime. I did. There's things on my car that were never spec.
Well, we won't cross him up. This is the last one. Keeps 1-0 up. We've got Wrexham. No one got Hereford. But this is the last one. Let's see who gets this first.
Arteta. And Sanya. Gnabry. Away from Kirikesh, and he's managed to find Santi Cazorla! 1-0 Arsenal. Lovely work from Serge Gnabry. Look at the room Santi Cazorla had. And he has thumped the Gunners in front.
It's not against Tottenham, is it? It is
against Tottenham!
And that was a game where me and you said, I reckon we should take Cazorla off, he's not doing it.
What year is that?
2014.
Serge Gnabry. Whatever happened to him? Where did he?
Whatever happened to him? He came. He was wearing the number 44 rather shirt for Arsenal, and set up the goal that put us 1-0 up. Santi Cazorla, and then in the second half, if you remember, Danny Rose made a mistake on the halfway line.
Good old Thomas.
And Thomas Rosicki is one of the few players you can say skipped away. Yeah. Thomas Rosicki skipped away and dinked the keeper, and we won, and we beat Tottenham 2-0. Do you want to do a spot the lineup on the match?
Well, all right. So
for that match.
Yeah, for that match. 2014.
Chesney in goal?
No.
Fabianski in goal,
yeah. Back four.
Well, we know Sanya was one of them.
Sanya.
Koscielny, because he always played.
Koscielny, yeah.
Would we have had Monreal at left back?
Monreal left back. This is going well.
And Mertesacker.
Mertesacker came off the bench to replace number five.
Vermaelen.
Vermaelen.
Right. So the midfield is Riziki, Cazorla, well, Gnabry, we know that. And did Ramsey play?
No, Ramsey. Those three that you mentioned were in a 4-2-3-1. They were the three.
Walcott
was the centre forward.
Oh, God, were we in that period of time?
We were in that period. It was. It was the will Walcott be a centre forward? What will he become?
Giroud? Giroud on
the... No, because Walcott's there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So where are we missing?
You were missing two midfielders, the pair in front of the back four.
All right, okay.
Alex Song?
No.
I know he's gone by then, isn't he?
No, Alex Song.
Ozil?
No. Ozil came off the bench.
Okay.
To replace one of the pair, who is still at the club.
Did Wilshere play?
Wilshere played.
Yeah.
Wilshere played.
This is our
substituted.
Best one yet, Keith.
It is. You're doing well. Substituted by Flamini.
Ah.
And Ozil came on for... He's always there. He always gets forgotten. He's there every time we do spot the lineup. No. He's still employed by the Arsenal.
Arteta.
We got mentioned. We never ever mention him.
No one ever gets Arteta. It's actually mentioned at the beginning of the clip.
Of course, it's Arteta.
Arteta.
Can I mention one more third round game?
Yes, by all means.
Which we've done the spot the lineup for, and we've talked about it before. But given that we're recording on the 10th of January, yesterday was Thierry Henry Day.
Of course.
2012, still the greatest moment at the Emirates.
I still look that up on YouTube to cheer myself up. It's always a great thing to see, isn't it?
He may be cast in bronze, but he's still capable of truly golden moments.
What a line.
What a guy.
What a line.
That was it.
Well, a couple of years later, this was a couple of years after that, 2014, the unused subs were Podolski, the corporal, and Park, and Viviano, the goalkeeper, who I don't think ever played. But what's interesting about the match report is that Tim Sherwood was the Tottenham manager. It's fascinating to read it. Arsenal emphasised their current superiority over Tottenham with a comfortable victory. Arsene Wenger has set his sights on an extended FA Cup run as his side stand top of the Premier League table. Oh, my God. This wasn't that long ago. They dominated this derby to move to the next round. Cazorla's powerful finish put the hosts ahead. Danny Rose's dreadful error allowed Brzezinski to race half the length of the field. The only downside was the sight of Theo Walcott carried off on a stretcher. And that was, of course, when he did the famous 2-0 gesture. And because it was a cup, Tottenham had the whole of the clock in. And he got picked up on a stretcher on the east side, gave him the 2-0 gesture, and then had to be carried all the way along the clock end in front of 9,000 really hacked off Spurs fans.
I remember it now. It was an evening game, wasn't it?
Absolutely marvellous. New Spurs boss Tim Sherwood was left disappointed as his players never reached the heights that saw them record an outstanding win at Manchester United on New Year's Day and faced the taunts of Arsenal fans only too keen to remind him about his reported allegiance to the Gunners. This was another impressive show of strength from Arsenal as their season gathers momentum and the ground was awash with optimism and celebration at the final whistle. Hard to believe, isn't it? Hard to believe.
Times change, but we're on
Walcott's pace was a constant threat, twice forcing saves from Hugo Lloris. Youngster Serge Gnabry was also impressive. Adebayor played for Spurs. Wenger says the game was played at a good pace. We controlled quite well, defensive and offensive. Every time when our game is based on movement, a quick, sharp pass, and we look dangerous. Tim Sherwood said, "We didn't disgrace ourselves. We showed we belong on the same field and in the same company as Arsenal."
Makes it sound like a non-league team, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds like the manager of Chorley Town.
Oh, we did well. I mean, a club our size.
The Tottenham team, is it not really worth mentioning anyone? But there was one or two who stayed and became part of the Pochettino years, principally Lloris and Eriksson. But it still included Aaron Lennon, Bentaleb, Soldado and all these other...
Soldado.
Harry Kane was on the bench, number 37. And Brad Friedel. So, yes, that was that. That was that. We went on and won the cup that year, although we nearly blew it in the semi-final against Wigan Athletic.
Yeah.
And it was later that same calendar year anyway when I remember texting Amy Lawrence with the word Klopp. Which I think was after a home defeat to Manchester United. So that awash with optimism bit, that didn't last. That was about less than a year later, half the ground was going, oh, for God's sake. Because suffice to say, we did not remain top of the table, although we did win the FA Cup against Hull City, who were managed by Steve Bruce. Tottenham are winning,
yeah,
by the way.
Considerably, yeah.
I don't know why. I shouldn't have it on because it doesn't help us, does it?
Oh, I tell you, that lot were banging on like they reached the Champions League final. You know, various...
Oh, well, after they beat Brentford.
Oh, for crying out loud. And it's like, oh, we're going to Wembley. Yeah, and you'll be coming away from Wembley with nothing, like you normally do. Yeah.
Well, it's Guardiola against Mourinho. Whatever, who cares? Nah.
That one's going to be...
Someone sent Finn GJ on Twitter. Willian cares so much for Emile Smith Rowe that he won't try to fight for his place in the team.
Oh, that's a good spin on it. Well done, mate. Yeah. I think he's
right.
He's got a point, yeah.
He's got a point. It's all to do with... this is from Troy Livingstone. On Twitter, row Smith Rowe, get him on the ball. When he's playing number 10, we can beat them all. That's
very good.
Row Smith Rowe, get him on the pitch. He's our best number 10. Willian's a bitch. Willian's not really won the hearts and minds of Arsenal supporters, has he?
No.
It's going to take a big second half of the season from Willian. It's such a good start against Fulham.
And I do think that song would be appropriate, say, in 1930.
And he was always the one that I liked. He was always the least hateful of their players. You know what I mean? He looked the part. He's a great player before he stepped into it.
Yeah, it's not really working. Do you want to do a quiz before we wrap this up?
Yeah.
Do you want to
do a quiz? What is it with Chelsea though? They give us their rejects and it's like they mug us off. Go on, he'll be all right for you. You can have him. But it's like, no. Why are we doing this to ourselves? Go. Just thinking it's going to work out. Every time we sniff around a Chelsea dustbin, we come out with a rat.
I don't know. But it's fascinating, isn't it, to see it now. When you think, well, there was optimism about Willian after the first game of the season away at Fulham. Good performance. Is he going to inspire the kids and lead them? And now he's been here a few months, and Martinelli and Saka and Smith Rowe,
yeah,
are the future of Arsenal Football Club. And they're all we want to see now. That's all we want to see. It's Daniel Maguire who sends the quizzes. It was Daniel Maguire who sent me a quiz last week, and he sent me... These have come from a book that he's got, Football Facts and Quiz Book. The Carling Football Facts and Quiz Book. You guess how old it is by the fact that the front cover features a very young Michael Owen, Zidane, the original Ronaldo, Roy Keane and David Seaman. So we're looking at a quiz book from 20 years ago. And it's all questions about the Arsenal. 15 questions. Question one. Who did Arsenal lose to in the 1988 League Cup final?
Luton Town.
Oh, Tyo's in. I can't believe he got there. Where are you there, Keith?
He just sneaked in there.
You can't believe, Keith. Oh, you can't actually say Luton Town out loud, Keith. Is that the first time you've said Luton since 1988?
There's another one. It's still a...
Isn't that marvellous? That is the day, listener. If you've been with us for a while as a long-standing freeloading scum, you'll know that Keith got home, having recorded the match, rewound the tape, and recorded over it,
yes,
just in case he should accidentally watch it.
Absolutely. And threw a can of Long Life at the kitchen door as well to add to that.
And has never videotaped a match since.
Nope. Never have, never will.
I remember coming out of Wembley after that final, and of course the Luton fans were jubilant, and lots of them were wearing straw boaters because of their nickname, the Hatters. and they were singing along and having a great time outside the final. And an Arsenal fan went up to one of them and tore his straw boater to ribbons, just shredded it in front of his face. There were children there.
That's
it was brutal.
Just wrong.
Which team knocked Arsenal out of the 1997-98 UEFA Cup?
Knocked us out.
Yeah, the double winning team. Was...
Borussia Mönchengladbach.
No, it's a Greek team.
Olympic.
Oh, Panathinaikos then, because it's always Panathinaikos.
No, it's P-A-O-K. I don't know if you say
Salonika.
Paok. Salonika.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's the one that... Who did we lose to? Who's the German team we lost to in Arsene's first game? That's what I was getting confused with.
That might have been Mönchengladbach.
It was a narrative
thing. Number three... Who scored the first goal in the 2-0 win at Anfield to clinch the 89 league title?
Alan Smith.
Alan Smith, 1-1. Dover equalises. Number four, Royal Arsenal's first game in January 1887. I think you were there.
Yeah,
Keith.
I just know this question.
It was a 6-1 defeat. Can you remember the opponents? Erith. Royal Arsenal 6, Erith 1. Where was the game played?
Woolwich.
Close.
Erith.
Here we go. Are we going Erith? Erith as in Eric, or Erith as in Erith? It was played on a common.
Plumstead Common.
Plumstead Common. Type of Pula scores.
Yeah. South London 2-1 knowledge. Up. South London knowledge.
2-1 up. Question five. Who is David Seaman's predecessor in the Arsenal goal?
Lukic.
Lukic, Tio's 3-1 up. It's, Keith!
Listen, the man's free-flowing here. He's in there, you know.
Question six. Which Scottish team did Woolwich Arsenal play at the Invicta Ground in 18...
Oh, for Christ's sake. Come on.
Hibernian.
1893. In front of 12,000 people. No, not Hibernian. Close, though.
Hearts.
Hearts is right. Tio's 4-1 up. It's 4-1 up.
This is a tonkin.
This is absolutely shameful for Keith. Number seven. Which club did Arsenal beat in the semi-finals of the 1994 Cup Winners' Cup?
Paris Saint-Germain.
Oh, for Christ's sake, give us a chance. Is he on some time loop or something? He's 5 seconds ahead of me. I'm sure he is.
This is like Aston Villa Liverpool. I can hardly believe it's happening.
I remember the Ian Wright goal and then he missed the final, didn't he?
He did miss the final.
Is that a falling away goal from the left hand side, from the right hand side?
No, I think you're thinking of the quarter final in 95 against Auxerre.
Oh, okay. Well, still got it right.
Yeah, still got it right. He got booked and missed the final.
Right. They changed the ruling, I think, after that, didn't they?
Well, you can't book Ian Wright.
No,
that was a new ruling. Question eight, and Arsenal won the title in 1931. First time they won the title, of course. First title in illustrious history. How many points clear of Aston Villa did Arsenal finish?
7.
Correct!
4, that was it.
How'd you know that?
It's a shot in the dark.
You always say 6.
I just said 7.
5-2. 5-2. Which defender, question 9, bought by George Graham from IK Start was the main subject of the illegal bung payments investigation.
Paul Leaderson.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Leaderson smashed it in. What a finish. Put on a plate for him by Emile Smith-Rowe.
See, he's been away for a few weeks. He's rested.
And Emile Smith-Rowe loves me. In which year did Royal Arsenal become Woolwich Arsenal?
Oh.
I mean, Keith, you were there.
I was going to say 1928.
No.
1886.
No. Close.
1889.
No. Closer still. Warmer.
1890.
No, warmer.
We're just going to go 91 and then he'll go 92.
Yes, he's right. And that's it. He's scored. What's the score now? How many have you got, Keith?
I've got 3. I've got.
Have you? 5-3. Is it? Yeah. Oh, someone will email me if it isn't. This is a miserable question. Question 11. Of what did Herbert Chapman die?
Gout.
No, it won't gout. No. Pneumonia.
Pneumonia is correct. Oh, he's making a comeback.
Hold that thought. I'm going to see if I can just grab a charger out there. Hang on.
Okay.
All right. Oh, God. It's a tension.
Now give me the answers and then... What is it? What?
You're not even joking.
No, I'm not.
Hey, you said you've got three. What three did you get?
Oh, I definitely got three.
Sorry about that.
So, okay, we rejoin. Tyre's back in the room. The last question was, of what did Herbert Chapman die?
I said gout.
I said pneumonia.
And pneumonia was the right answer. Keith's claiming that it's 5-4. I'm going back over the questions. But anyway...
No, this... I opened up a much bigger lead than that.
I think it was 7-1.
I definitely got three.
The listeners will tell us. The listeners will tell us.
Surely will. But either way, Keith, I'm looking at the last three questions. You are screwed, my friend. But you might get this one. Who scored the only goal in the 1934 FA Cup final victory over Sheffield United?
Cliff Bastin.
Not Cliff Bastin. No.
Alex Stepney.
I'm
just pulling out 30s players. Joe Mercer.
I said Joe Mercer.
Well, you said Joe Fraser.
I didn't say Joe Fraser. I said Joe Mercer. You see, you're trying to cheat now. Put me on.
Joe Mercer was 20 years later anyway. Okay. Alex Stepney played in goal for Man United in the 60s. I think you're thinking of Alex James. Yes. But we still haven't got it.
Oh, God, no.
Centre forward for the Arsenal in the 30s.
Drake.
Oh, yes!
No!
Drake scored!
Scrote!
Yes! Yes!
Ted Drake.
Drake, of course.
No, I tell you what.
And not the musical sensation. No!
Does that put me out of... Well, we'll see.
I think you're well out of reach. But Keith says Keith reckons if he gets the last two, it's a draw.
I'm over it. I tell you what. While he's been away, he's looked all this up. That's what he's done.
Yeah, I knew the questions coming, Keith.
He might have the quiz book. He might have the answers. We just don't know. VAR can't help you.
Go on.
Okay, last three questions. Who succeeded George Alisson as Arsenal manager?
Don Howe.
No. Someone called Swindon?
No.
Oh, it wasn't Joe Mercer. He was a manager.
No. Not going to get it. They're not going to get it. No, Tom Whittaker. Ah. Tom Whittaker.
That's a name I've heard of.
Yes, famous Arsenal manager. Number 14, told you wouldn't get this. You would never get this. Which ground did Woolwich Arsenal use in the 1893-94 season?
Erith.
Not Erith. Not Plumstead Common.
Millwall.
No, it's Manor Field. I mean, right. Really.
I win that one, Keith. Yeah. I got out front early.
Stumbled
over the line. Yeah,
well, now, here's one. It's a competition that Arsenal no longer compete in, having left Kent in 1913. In which year did Royal Arsenal win the Kent Senior Cup for the first time?
1933.
No. Paying any attention,
no,
are you?
I'm not.
No.
1902.
No, it was 1890. As we've already established, they dropped the name Royal Arsenal in 1891. Have I got that right?
Yeah, it was 1891.
Looking back at the previous question.
I enjoyed that. I do love a quiz.
Yeah, because you should enjoy it because you thrashed it. You only started supporting Arsenal in 93.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do a Crystal Palace quiz on it. Keith will get them all right. Thank you, Daniel Maguire, for emailing that in. You can email us at TuesdayClubPodcast@gmail.com. Twitter, we're at Not You Bentley. Not You Bentley! So do email or tweet us if you like.
We're nearly up to 10,000.
Just as a quiz question for the Not You Bentley game, can you tell me all eight scorers?
Scorers?
All eight goal scorers in the. It wasn't a Not You Bentley game.
We lost 1-0.
No, when Bentley scored that goal against.
Oh, the 4-4?
In the 4-4. Can you name all the scorers?
That's an outstanding quiz question. The answer is no. But I think, I can remember the Spurs scorers, yeah. Yeah. I think Aaron Lennon got one. I think Jermaine Genus got one.
From the slip. And then Bentley scored that one, obviously.
One from miles out. Arsenal 4, Spurs 4. Here we go. I'm looking it up. We'll just do this. And then I really must wrap this up. Aaron Lennon's injury time equaliser capped a stunning fight back.
So it's Lennon, Defoe, Bentley and Genus.
Darren Bent.
Oh, okay.
Got one for them. Our goals were scored by... You want to have any guesses?
I can't tell you. You'll never get
the first one in a million years. It was Silvestre.
No.
William Gallas put us 2-1 up. Adebayor put us 3-1 up.
3-1 up.
Bent scored for 3-2. Then Van Persie, 3 goals in 3 minutes. Then Van Persie scored. So we're 4-2 up. And then
Clichy slips. And then
Jermaine Genus.
Genus scores that one.
And Aaron Lennon, 2 goals in the last minute. And some of the notable names on the pitch that day, Cesc Fabregas, Gareth Bale, and of course, Tom Huddleston. Mm. sorry, Luka Modric. All right, Jed, see you later.
Oh, brilliant. Nice. Cheers, lads. Bye.
It's good to see Theo back there having a bit of having a nice time.
He shouldn't have left.
You would have kept him.
No, he shouldn't have left Southampton.
Oh, right. He shouldn't have left.